Good morning, guys. Welcome to Living Hope Community Church. I just was thinking this morning how glad I am to pastor a church where you guys don't mind if I preach in shorts. So I hope you really don't mind, because I'm doing it. So if you mind, it's a little late. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using since forever. The Lord be with you. Thank you very much, and thank you for all sitting on one side. That makes it much easier for me, as I just look at you on this side, and it makes it easier when the people come in here in a few minutes to find all the empty chairs on one side of the room. So let's bow our head for a moment. Let's pray before we begin. God, you've been good to us, and we thank you for this past week when we had the opportunity to celebrate the freedoms that we enjoy here, and for many of us, getting a day off, getting a long weekend last weekend. God, we thank you for times of refreshing and for holidays. God, we pray that you will refresh us this morning as we step out of our ordinary routine, of our weekday life, as we step into this time with you and with each other. God, we pray that you would meet us here. We pray that you would speak to our hearts, and by your Holy Spirit, fill us with your love, so that as we go back after this, as we go back into our lives, into the world, that we would go with a sense of your love and the love that you have for us and the love that you have for the people around us. Thanks, God, for inviting us to come together this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you're interested, let's stand and let's sing to the God who's invited us here.
Is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness.
Would you bow your heads with me? God, thank you for being a God who is defined by love. And your faithful love continues to each generation, as we've been seeing, as we make our way through the scriptures, as we make our way through this Old Testament. God, in the New Testament, that just spells it out. It says God is love. So God, we do pray that your love will fill our hearts today. That you will so transform us from the inside out that when we bump into those opportunities to love people, that it'll just be natural for us to reach out, to extend that hand, to give generously of our resources, of our time, of our energy. And then God will return to you and be refreshed and renewed and filled up again with your love, so that we can turn around and love people in your name. Thank you, God, that in your great love for us, you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, so that our sins can be forgiven, so that our slates can be wiped clean, so that we can have your Spirit alive within us, this Spirit that binds us together with all Christians everywhere in loving you and loving our neighbors. Thank you, God, for the great love that you have communicated to us in Scripture, in song, by your Holy Spirit. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let's take a couple minutes. Extend that peace to each other. Shake someone's hand. Give somebody a... All right. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. I hope that some of you perhaps took me up on my little challenge to dive back in and read Proverbs with us this past week. I guess I should do this part first. If you all got one of these when you came in, it lets us know what's going on, lets you know how we can be praying for each other on the back. I always love it when I hear news of you guys praying for each other and praying for the people that are on the back of the bulletin. I know I was talking to somebody last week, and some name came up, and they said, "Oh yeah," they're like, "Where do I know that name? Oh, that's right, we're praying for him," you know. And they've been praying for somebody that's on the back of the bulletin, and. And they recognize the name of somebody that doesn't go here, but somebody we've been praying for. So one way you can let us know how to be praying is by using the little welcome card. Fill it out, drop it in the offering box before you go. along with any gift you want to make. And since Scott mentioned the needs like dish soap at Housing Opportunities and things like that, just wanted to remind you that you can still drop things off for the food pantry, the Downtown Christian Food Pantry. I know as we've been trying to reorganize and we're trying to replace the breakfast bar with something else out there that's still in the works, that ended up making room for us again to put that little pink tub out there. So if you've been wondering, well, I bought some mac and cheese or I bought some, whatever I'd like to drop off of the food pantry, but I haven't seen that pink tub out there, the pink tub's back. So just drop it in the pink tub when you come in and we'll get it to the food pantry and people will appreciate that deeply. I get to volunteer there 2 Mondays a month and often I end up being the guy at the window that hands people the food and that, talks through with them some of the options and the things that are available to them. It's a pleasure, I got to tell you, to be able to serve people who are in need, who are at a time in their life where they just need that little bit of extra, and to be able to provide that extra. It's a great feeling. So thank you to those of you who have been giving to that and those of you who will be giving to that. All right, I got to tell you, it was tempting for me as we're making our way through the Bible experiment. We just finished Proverbs yesterday, I think. That's right? And we're just starting Ecclesiastes today. And so it was really tempting for me to just kind of skip over Proverbs and say, yeah, we kind of talked about that last week and the choice between wisdom and folly and got to choose to be wise and as we're all changing every day, we're becoming different and we want to make sure we're changing for the better. And so, I already kind of covered that stuff. Let's just move on because Ecclesiastes is really odd and interesting. And then later this week, too, we'll read Song of Songs, which is an unusual book to have in the Bible. If you've never read it before, then this week we're going to come across this love song that's like got these slightly erotic parts to it, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is in the Bible. What's going on here? But there's this amazing love song, and then we get into the prophets. We start Isaiah later this week, and Isaiah is kind of like the big prophet in the Old Testament, and we're going to get into his book, and then Jeremiah, and then for the rest of the summer and on into the fall, we're going to be reading through these prophets, these spokespeople for God that came to Israel with the message that God had for them, and we're going to see what God was saying to the people back all the way through this history that we've just read through, from the early times of the monarchy with King David and King Solomon and all the rest, all the way through to the exile and the return and the rebuilding and what God was saying to his people through that whole time. It's fascinating. So I was greatly tempted to just look forward today and talk about the things that we're going to be reading. And then I realized, yeah, I can't do that. Okay, we just, Proverbs is an amazing book. And it's so different from what's in the rest of Scripture that we've just got to turn back and talk about some of the things that came out of it. Those of you who were here last week, remember we did the little thing around the tables and we had you like read through part of that day's reading of Proverbs and pick out the ones that were most interesting to you or that were speaking to you. And the one that I saw over and over again as I made my way around tables and just kind of like, oh, so what one jumped out to you? Oh, what one jumped out to you? Oh, what jumped out to you guys? This one that's at the top of your notes here is the one that over and over again, I think I saw this at every table. Somebody at every table saw this one and said, yeah, this is one I got to listen to, or this is one I've got a friend needs to listen to, or anyway, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. So maybe I should just stop right now then. We should just pray. We should go home. We should take a vow of silence for the rest of the day or something. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Evidently, that rang a bell with quite a few of you. I don't know. So I was looking back, and I'll be honest, at first I thought, well, I'll do kind of a little greatest hits of Proverbs, because Proverbs touches on all sorts of different avenues of life, from the words that we say to money and the way we handle our finances. Man, if you need to get a handle on your financial world, just go back through and read through Proverbs and mark the verses that talk about money or wealth or poverty and start putting those into practice. There's a lot of wisdom in there for how we handle our money. To stuff about relationships and integrity, and I mean, it touches on just about everything. And so I started to do that. I started thinking, okay, well, let's look through some of these. I was going to do this little greatest hits kind of message, and there was so much about just the words that we say, and the things we choose to say or not say, the types of words that we say that I thought, okay, that's a whole message right there. So we'll just do that. And if you want to know more about money or integrity or any of those other things that are dealt with, you can read back through Proverbs. I mentioned last week, some people make Proverbs just a part of their daily life. And whatever day of the week it is, they read, or whatever day of the month it is, they read that chapter of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters. So, you know, today being the 10th, you could go back and read Proverbs chapter 10. There'll be something in Proverbs chapter 10 that, well, maybe it'd be that verse again. You know, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. As you look, see there, a few chapters later in Proverbs 18, it says, "The mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips." Like, boy, they just can't help it. The things they say lead to their downfall. They trap themselves with their lips. They can't help it. As we're going to go through it, they've told a lie and they've gotten caught in it. Or they've gossiped and they've shared a confidence and it destroyed a relationship. Or something. They said something foolish. They spouted off about something they didn't know about and it got them in trouble. The mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. If you feel like, you know what, yeah, this is something I struggle with, I have a talking problem or whatever, well, this next one maybe is one that, maybe this is the one you'll circle and just live with this one this week. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. You know, we all probably would do better to talk less than we do. There's very few of us that have hit that sweet spot of saying just the right amount. Some of us, we under-communicate, and our spouses hate us for it, you know, and we don't ever tell them what's going on, and we don't communicate enough. Probably more of us fall on the other side of things, and we overshare, we over-communicate. We speak when we should have been silent. And, well, according to Proverbs, we would be a little better off if we would watch what we say. Now, I am really bummed that I did not find this. Stacy and I were talking about this this message last night, and she reminded me of this great little letter that I had to write when I was, oh, a kid. I'll have to ask, my mom will be in this next service. I'll have to ask her when I wrote this. I was obviously very small because it's got, you know, big, awkward letters, and I think, didn't I even have a picture at the top of me, and the heading on it was "My Mouth," and I had to write this little thing about how my mouth said things that, like, hurt my sister or something like that. My mouth called my sister stupid. Oh, okay. And how that wasn't good and I needed not to do that or something. You know, and I had to write this little, my mom made me write this little thing, you know, like a teacher having to write something on the chalkboard. I had to write this little thing and that ended up in this little, like, memory book, you know, along with my baby pictures and other, you know, things. Like, there we go, my mouth. And the little picture I had to draw was like, it was like a head with a big mouth on it and then legs and arms, you know, like little kids, they don't draw bodies until later on, you know. So that was me. I wish I could have found that and, like, handed it out to you or something, because this is something that we all deal with. All of us have this issue with our mouths, and if you don't and you're like, no, Rich, it's just you, okay, well, then I'm preaching this because it's just me, all right? Hopefully some of you will get something out of what Proverbs has to say about our mouths and the words that we use. But I don't think, like I mentioned last week, I don't think any of us want to be fools. I don't think any of us want to go through life making foolish mistakes, making fools of ourselves, damaging our relationships with other people. You know, we all want to make wise choices. We all want to be smart. We all want to do what's, either at least do what's right, or at least, even if we don't care about what's right, we want to do what's going to get us ahead. You know, we want to prosper in life. And according to Proverbs, the way we use our mouths, the words we say, that makes a big difference. There's several verses here from there's just scattered throughout Proverbs. Because Proverbs sometimes seems like they just took all these wise sayings and put them in a hat and shook it up and then drew them out and just kind of stuck them in whatever order they happened to draw them out. There doesn't seem to be any real order to big chunks of Proverbs. But Proverbs 16, there's a couple of verses in there that talk about our words. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Like honey. Kind words are like honey. Boy, that's, I wouldn't mind if people, you know, that's the kind of thing. You can imagine people said that about you. Well, your words are like honey. You know, they're like, they're just so pleasant. The words that you say, they're so encouraging. They're so helpful. They're sweet to the soul, healthy for the body. By contrast, just a couple verses later, it says, scoundrels create trouble. Their words are a destructive blaze. Now that's, hopefully we don't hear that about our own words, that the words we speak cause trouble, you know, destructive blaze. Maybe you've been around somebody, maybe you've got a coworker or a classmate that is like that, or somebody in your family. You just got together with friends for the 4th of July, and you've got this friend that every time they show up, you know it's going to be trouble because they're always poking. They're always saying something just to get a little fire started, just to get under your skin, just to get you hot under the collar. And it says, yeah, scoundrels do this. They create trouble. Their words are a destructive blaze. I don't know. Our words can be like honey, taste good and good for you, or they can be like a destructive blaze. It's a powerful thing, the words that we say. I was starting to include some stuff from James, the book of James in the New Testament, because I like that book, and because it says a lot about our tongues. So maybe you just write that off to the side. Read the letter of James in the New Testament this afternoon. He describes the tongue as being like a small spark that sets a whole forest on fire. There is power in the tongue. There is power in the words that we say. And Proverbs chapter 12 says, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Would you rather your words cut people, or would you rather your words heal? We can be cutting, we can be healing, just by the words that we say. Now, my brain is going back to what Scott said earlier about our actions, and that so much of Proverbs is about what we do. And that's true. You know, I mean, the words that we speak, the decisions to speak and not just hold something in our heads, that is an action in itself. But it's almost like a little half action, you know, speaking, because it's, you can cut, you can wound, or you can heal just by the words you say. You know, not even by going out of your way to be super generous or to do some grand gesture. Just the words you say can be healing to someone. Or the words you say can be cutting. They can be wounding. So Proverbs 10 says, the lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. If you're ever sitting there thinking, okay, should I say this or shouldn't I? And that's a big step in itself, all right? Just if you ever get to that place where you're willing, where you're able to stop before you say something and think, should I say this or shouldn't I? You know, and you're kind of wrestling with something. You know, think back over some of these. Okay, is this going to be like honey to them? Is this going to be healing to them? Is this going to be helpful? Are these going to be helpful words, what that last one said? Or are these words going to be destructive? Are these going to be cutting? Are these words going to be perverse? Maybe you need to hang on to them. Maybe you need to not let those words slip past your lips. Now, one whole section of words and language and speech that Proverbs deals with over and over and over again is when we say things that aren't true. Proverbs chapter 12 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. God delights in those who tell the truth, and he detests lying lips. It's not just that lying is a bad idea. You know, it's not just that lying is something that's going to get you in trouble. God hates it. You know, this is one of the few times, there are a few times in Proverbs that God enters the picture and is kind of part of the motivation for why we do this or why we don't do this. A lot of Proverbs is just, hey, this is just kind of smart. You know, this is a smart way to do, smart way to be. But here it actually says, the Lord, we find out what the Lord hates and what the Lord delights in. And he delights in those who tell the truth. I'd much rather have God delighting in me than detesting me. I think I'll aim for truth. Truthful words, Proverbs says, stand the test of time. But lies are soon exposed. We've probably all bumped into this at some point, haven't we? You know, one of those times where you gave in and you said that little lie because you thought, okay, I got to cover my butt here. Okay, I've screwed up and I got to, you know, I don't want them to find out. And so you told some little misleading, maybe you even managed to do, I was brought up knowing, you know, the big, strong difference between right and wrong and truth and lies and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty tough sometimes for me to tell a lie, but I've gotten pretty good, or I got pretty good at some point, at just leaving out part of the truth, you know. Just maybe misleading, but not actually lying, so that if they were to go back to me later and say, but you said, I said, no, what I said was this, you know. I didn't actually lie, you know, but that doesn't really work, okay? I mean, it's misleading anyway. It's it's causing them to think of a lie. But we've probably all done something like this at some point, haven't we? We've lied to somebody, and then, you know, you got to cover that. You got to cover that lie somehow. And then you got to cover that lie somehow. And then you got to remember, okay, who did I tell the truth to? Who did I lie to? Which versions of the story are out there, and who's got them? And it just is unmanageable. And the Bible says, look, lies are soon exposed. At some point, then it comes out. This is why I can't stand certain television shows. There are some TV shows that if Stacy and I are sitting there watching, they're comedies, you know, it's a little sitcom kind of thing or whatever. There are some shows that I would just have to get. I get so nervous about them. Stacy just has to try to hold on to me to keep me from getting up and leaving the room. I want to hide behind the couch. And it's almost always because one of the main characters has told some kind of a lie, and now they're trying to cover it. You know, and it's like they're going to be embarrassed. They're going to be found out in some way. It used to be Frasier was the show I remember. It used to really do this to me back in the day because they would tell some lie, pretend to be something they're not, and then you know they're going to be found out, and it's just the tension just rises and rises and rises until finally it's revealed, and it's horrible. I feel that tension every minute of the show. Lies are soon exposed. It is a terrible thing to live with that kind of tension. To live with that kind of tension of feeling like, oh, I sure hope they don't find this out. I hope this stays hidden. I hope this doesn't come out, and it's going to be, oh, if it does, I'm going to lose this person. I'm going to lose this job. I'm going to lose the. Oh, I hope I can keep this under wraps. That is a terrible, terrible tension to live with, especially because, as Proverbs tells us, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. That's why a couple weeks ago we talked about confession. It's much better to confess and to uncover that, whatever that is, and to seek forgiveness and to seek reconciliation from God, from the people you've wronged, than to live with that tension, to continually be covering over a lie. Not only is it bad for you, it's bad for the people you're lying to. Proverbs says, a lying tongue hates its victims, and flattering words cause ruin. You know, sometimes we think we're lying for the benefit of the other person, but Proverbs says, no, that's not, you're really just doing it for yourself. You know, you're lying for yourself, so you don't have to have that difficult conversation. So you don't have to tell them that, I'm sorry, you really can't sing, and you really shouldn't enter American Idol. You know, we've talked about that before. You know, that somebody should have stopped, that somebody should have told them the truth earlier. You know, those people that get made fun of early in the series, flattering words cause ruin. Those people that say, oh, you sound great, you know, oh, they're setting somebody up to be horribly embarrassed on national TV, you know. A lying tongue, not only does God detest it when we choose untruth, not only is it going to be exposed eventually and going to hurt us, the Bible says it hurts other people when we choose to lie instead of choosing to tell the truth. Sometimes we just have to, I was going to say man up, but man up, woman up. Sometimes we just have to get some courage and have that difficult conversation. And, of course, we do our best not to be cutting or destructive, you know, to be healing, to be gentle, to be kind. But sometimes we have to have that conversation with somebody and say, I'm sorry, you know what, I've got to tell you the truth about this, and I don't want to lie to you. And we have to have a difficult conversation with somebody. A lying tongue hates its victims, and flattering words cause ruin. The flip side of this, of course, is if you're the one being lied to, you're the one being flattered, is that, and there were other Proverbs about this, to watch out for flattery, to watch out for people who are always telling you stuff you want to hear because they're probably not being honest with you. Oh, that's one of my favorites I forgot to put in here. Ah, I completely forgot. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but kisses from an enemy, something, something terrible. I forget what the rest of it was. But the wounds from a friend can be trusted was the part that I remember like thinking, yes, I would rather have friends who would tell me the truth. I would rather have friends around me who would be honest with me and let me know than people who would just kind of keep it to themselves. Flatter me. Tell me what I want to hear. Set me up for a fall. Proverbs 26 says, just as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon is someone who lies to a friend and then says, yeah, I was only joking. Yeah. I was sitting there trying to think. I don't think this happens too much, really, where we just lie to people and then come back and say, I was just kidding, you know. But then I realized this happens to me kind of a lot because I'm one of those gullible type of people that tends to believe what people say. I tend to, you know. And so, you know, those kinds of jokes where you tell somebody, you know, you intend the whole thing as a joke, but, you know, I tend to be the one that kind of goes right with it. Stacy does this to me a lot. And so we were talking about this. She was asking me last night, you know, what are you talking about and whatever. And I was telling her, and she starts laughing over there as she realizes all these times she's gotten me, you know. What? What? You're the madman shooting a deadly weapon. That's right. So one time she we were driving down the street, and apparently it was here in Valpo. I didn't remember when this was, and I still don't know what those are for. You know, they have the little flashing light sometimes on top of the stoplights, the little white light that flashes. What's that mean? That means one's coming and you got to watch out for it? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it sure wasn't changing that day when we were driving by. Anyway, we were driving by one time, and there's a little light on the top of the thing, the little white light flash or whatever, and we're like, I wonder what that's for. Maybe there was an emergency vehicle going by, and we just didn't put it. Anyway, I say something to Stacy, like, well, I wonder what those lights are for, and Stacy says, just right away, just it comes. I don't know how these come to her, just so naturally, but she says, oh, those are for people who are colorblind. I'm like, really? All right. And so I don't remember how long it was before she started busting out laughing. And it was just like, come on, that's ridiculous. I'm like, oh, yeah, that didn't make any sense. Oh, well, anyway. Way back when we were just, I think we were still dating. I don't think we'd gotten engaged yet or married yet or anything like that. We were up at her parents' house in Wisconsin, and they had an in-ground swimming pool at that house that they lived in at the time. And we're out there swimming, and I'm splashing her or something. I must have splashed her in the face, and she goes, oh, don't splash me, contacts, or whatever, says that. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And I don't know when it was that it clicked in my head, like, wait a second, she doesn't wear contacts. She just pulls that out of nowhere to, like, get me to stop splashing her in the face. And my first reaction is to believe her, you know. Anyway, as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon. Someone who lies to a friend and says, I was only joking. I was telling this to Stacy, and, you know, and I was saying, I don't think people really do this that much. And she said, well, kids do it all the time. You know, she has worked in schools for forever, and he has memories from, you know, going to school herself. But, you know, kids who poke fun at each other, who do all kinds of, say all kinds of terrible things to each other. And then, of course, when they get in trouble, or then there's some consequences to those words, like, I was just joking. I didn't mean it. You know, well, that doesn't really help to come back and say, I was just joking. It's our words can be damaging, and lies especially so. All right, one of the ways, and most of us here in this room, I'm going to guess anyway, don't generally just intentionally lie to people. We don't go out of our way to tell people lies, and we're not, hopefully, you know, just building these palaces of lies upon lies upon lies. If you are, today's a great time to get straight with God, you know, and to confess that, and to begin working this afternoon into going and making it right with others, and confessing that to others, and saying, look, I've got to tell you the truth. I'm sorry I've hidden this, and whatever. Most of the time, I think, the ways we end up spreading lies are not, it's just because we're kind of thoughtless. We thoughtlessly repeat something. We do what this next proverb mentions from Proverbs 18. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. That we hear something and we repeat it. We get an email from someone and we just pass that right along without ever checking to see, is this true? You know, of course, we got it from a friend. They wouldn't send this to us if it wasn't true, you know. And so we turn around and we send it to everybody in our email list or whatever, in our email program. And we make sure we tell all of our friends about, and it usually happens if it's like, especially with like politics, if somebody, we disagree with them anyway. We wish they'd never been elected, and so we get some email about how they're so terrible about something, and we're incensed, and we can't believe this, and we spout it off to all of our friends without stopping to, like, do a little quick research. We're at our computer, you know. You go to, if it's politics, you go to politifact.com, or if it's some other kind of rumor, you go to snopes.com or urbanlegends.com or one of those websites, and you find out, oh, that's not true at all. Oh, I see. Those comments were taken totally out of context. Ah, I see. But most of the time, we don't do that. We live in this information age. It's really easy. You get a text, you just forward it to your friends. You get an email, you send it on. And you hear a rumor, you pass it on. And the next thing you know, you've just spread a lie that can be quite damaging to somebody's reputation. For some reason, when Stacy and I were talking about this one, the first one that popped into our minds was, I'm sorry, hon, I just don't do it, so I don't have examples for myself. No, now she learned after this one. I can't remember where we lived, if this was here in Valpo or not, but it was. She'd gotten some email from someone about this ingredient that's in antiperspirants that gives you cancer and how terrible it is. And it had all this sounded like a really scientific kind of a thing. And so she'd like emailed me saying, can you believe this? Did you hear about this? And, you know, and she had already, I think, sent it on to some friends maybe. Oh, you only sent it to me. Oh, so you were already. She was worried about me. All right. Yeah, because I have to use lots of antiperspirant. Anyway, it took about 30 seconds to go to, you know, one of those urban legend sites or whatever and to find out, oh, no, this isn't true. This was started back whenever. There's no scientific basis for this. I remember you had talked about it at work. Your coworkers were all a flutter, and that's how she had heard about it, was because her fellow teachers at the time were all saying, I can't believe this. Oh, man, we've got to stop doing this antiperspirant, you know, and we've got to let people know. And it wasn't true at all, you know. And several of them had probably already forwarded it on to all their friends. And next thing you know, you've passed along a lie. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. I've got to say, we live in a time that this, not only is it increasingly easy because of email, but for some reason, the culture we live in, we're all expected to have an opinion about something. You know, you hear about something, and people want to know your take on it. You're supposed to have an opinion about not only things like that movie or that restaurant, but that issue that you know nothing about. You know, and I don't know if it's a talk radio culture or if it's a blogging Twitter culture thing, but there's something about this easy, you know, sharing our opinions has become so easy, and we call in or we put out a thing online, and we feel like we've got to have a response to everything. And so many times we just don't have the facts. We spout it off without the facts, and we eventually shame ourselves and look like fools. There are several in Proverbs also about gossip, and I just included some of those there on the back, which is kind of where we got to with that last one. Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. You know, gossip fuels quarrels, just like wood fuels a fire. As surely as the north wind brings rain, so a gossiping tongue causes anger. You know, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. Many of us you've probably suffered at some point about somebody saying something about you that wasn't true. And it got spread around, and the next thing you know, you're having to answer questions about something that never, you know, you never said that, you never did that, but somebody got it in their head that you did, and they told somebody else. They were spouting off without having the facts. Next thing you know, that it's gone around. Or maybe this has been you, and you've been the one who has listened so eagerly. There's another proverb about how gossip or rumor is like a tasty morsel, you know, and maybe you've been one of those that you just love a good rumor. You know, you just love a good bit of gossip, whether it's about a coworker or some celebrity or something, and you just love a good piece of gossip. And it tastes even better when you share it with a friend. Gossip was one of those things that over and over again in the book of Proverbs, it's like, look, just quit. Don't spread it. Don't listen to it. Don't encourage it, because all it brings is quarrels and anger and strife. All it does is separate and break up friendships. If you want to be a friend, if you want to have good friends, be able to keep a confidence, prove yourself trustworthy, like Proverbs 11:13 says. Be somebody that they know, they can tell you, and you're not going to turn around and share it with a bunch of other people. Not even in the guise of a prayer request, you know. Not even saying, oh, we really need to pray for him. He's got, you know he's got this issue, right? Oh, yeah, he's really struggling with this. And you know what? He needs as much prayer as possible, so please pass this on and have other people pray for him. You know, no, that's gossip too, okay? All of this little bits of wisdom and how we use our mouths and the words that we say, it all comes back ultimately to what's going on inside of us. You know, if you've got anger boiling up inside of you, then whatever you say is going to end. You're going to end up spitting venom sooner or later. You know, you can try to hold it in, but if that anger is still boiling in you, it's going to come out. If inside of you is is bitterness, if inside of you is despair, if inside of you is jealousy, that's going to come out in the things that you say at some point. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes. Grapes aren't picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. Ultimately, the words that we say and the things that come out of our mouths are an expression of what's going on inside of us. This is what Jesus says, we have stored up good or we have stored up evil. And that's ultimately going to be expressed. That ultimately is going to come out. So not only do we need to listen to the wisdom of Solomon and the others and learn to bite our tongues and learn to do a little research before we pass something along and learn to keep a secret and all the rest, but we need to think about what's going on in our hearts. What kind of person are we? You know, if we find ourselves continually gossiping, what does that say about what's going on inside of us? If we find ourselves lying repeatedly, what does that say about what's going on inside of us? If we find ourselves, one we didn't touch on, that Proverbs does, if we find ourselves feeling the need to boast and brag about our accomplishments, what does that say? But what's going on inside of us? You know, the good news, of course, of Jesus Christ is that he can change what's going on inside of us. Is that he can transform us from the inside out. That he can change the sinner's heart and make it clean. And we're going to celebrate that in just a moment with the celebration of communion. As we take bread and juice and remember Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. As we remember that he took our sin on himself, nailed it to that cross. That Jesus Christ, in his death, defeated the power of sin so that we can be dead to sin. And he rose from the grave so we can be alive to God and live the new life by God's power that he created us to live. That's the good news, of course, in all of this. So let's bow our heads. Let's thank him for this. God, thank you for the transformation that you make possible in Jesus Christ, that we can be transformed from the inside out, that you can take what is in us that keeps coming out in our words and you can change it. You can fill our hearts with love, with joy, with peace, with compassion for those around us, so that instead of finding ourselves continually cutting others down, we find ourselves desiring to help, to build them up, and to encourage them. Instead of finding ourselves lying to people, we'll find ourselves with the courage to speak the truth and to confess when confession is needed. God, you have the ability to truly change us at the core of who we are. And for that, we give you thanks. Thank you, God. We do today submit ourselves to you and to your work in our lives. We confess, God, that this is not something we can do on our own. We can try as hard as we want to put these things into practice, but without you changing our hearts, it's going to be a whole lot of work for nothing. So God, like that prayer that Christians have been praying for a long, long time says, you know, Almighty God, before you all hearts are open. From you no secrets can be hidden. All desires are known to you. So God, we ask that you would cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit so that we can perfectly love you, so that we can worthily magnify your holy name, so that we can love you, so that we can love our neighbors like you created us to, God. Change our hearts. We pray this with confidence in you because of Jesus and the work that you have done in him. So it's in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The band's going to come and lead us in a song as we celebrate communion together. Before we go, I'm going to be up here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And if today you want to celebrate with us, you're invited to come, take bread, dip it in the juice and eat it, and return to your seats. This is our moment of being reminded of God's great love for us. That in God's love for us, he held nothing back. Usually what I say when you guys come forward for communion and you're taking bread and dipping in the juice, I usually say the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you or something like that. You know, his body broken for you, his blood spilled for you. What I want you to hear today when I say those words is God loves you. God loves you deeply. God loves you so much, he gave his son for you. God knows you. He knows your heart. He knows the words you've said and how wise or foolish they've been. He loves you. He desires to share his spirit with you today. Let's come and let's receive from this gracious God. Thank you, God, for sending us your Son to die for our sins, and for sending your Spirit to fill us with your love and with your life, so that we can be a people whose words are like honey, whose words bring healing, whose words bring encouragement and hope to the people that we meet. Thank you, God, for your great love for us and for your great love for those that we're going to see this week. Love them through us, we pray. Give us courage. Give us faith to trust you as you lead us this week. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.